I recognize the time is short, so I will talk as fast as I can. The first point is the returning to you, Judge Lau, and the bone question. Ordinarily, you're looking at the subjective intent of the client, because the question is, when a lawyer didn't do anything at all, did the client think they had a lawyer? Here we had a lawyer who did legal work. And I refer you to the comments to the scope of the rules, the RPC, that says that whether a client-lawyer relationship exists for any specific purpose can depend on the circumstances and is a question of fact. So it's a threshold matter. There's a question of fact presented by the fact that he chose to assume the role of lawyer. He could have written off the time. He didn't. The second point is turning to the core issue in the case, which is the application of RPC 1.8 to this situation of a former client during the interim beginning a new engagement. Number one, the Holmes case is on point. Number two, the Cotton case and the comment speak to this situation. We have a business transaction, which is to take a claim in quantum merit, and as Mr. Cronin said, to make it a liquidated note. The 2008 bar opinion comments that starting off as a debtor-creditor relationship impairs and is not fair to a client. But the security interest also is a problem. The 2012 WISBA opinion makes that point, that it's best practice to comply with 1.8 because this is a broad security interest. But the text of the rule itself is the guide here. It uses the word current as a term of art to contrast it with former clients, prospective clients, people you're not going to have a relationship. For example, though, if you look at 1.8H, it says a lawyer shall not make an agreement prospectively limiting the lawyer's liability to a client. If that appeared in an engagement agreement, it would violate RPC 1.8, even if it was signed as part of the agreement. The plain language of this rule shows that current is meant to mean simultaneous. Similarly, RPC 1.8i, again, the lawyer shall not acquire proprietary interest. And you look at the comments, it's about avoiding champery. This is a formation concern. The rule is not limited to the existing relationship. As the comment on the perspective of the limited, you look at the comment there, it says this is particularly important with a then-existing relationship. But it's not just important then.
So why does the rule that deals specifically with prospective clients not mention any of this?
Because that is for someone who it's never formed, but you have very narrow duties to, that even though there's never, ever a representation, and they're about confidentiality. This at 1.18 is that rule.
So instead of three categories, prospective, current, and former, as set forth in Hamline, there's a fourth category.
Current, this rule, even though it's titled current, includes provisions that apply to the formation of the attorney-client relationship, including the business transaction limitation and the security limitation.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.